Good morning. I'd like to begin by acknowledging and thanking our host, the Cherokee Nation, and also the conference organizers. Now, I actually have co-presenters who haven't arrived, so I've just sent someone out looking for them. Hopefully they'll come. So the Fort MacKay is a community in northern Alberta, Canada, that is in the middle of the oil sands activity. There's the First Nation has Cree and Dene people, but there are also Métis community living alongside them. And they're the most they're most surrounded by oil sands activities. We hear about other First Nations sometimes in the news in the region, but these are the people that are actually like right in the middle of it. And this project is a project that's funded by a nonprofit organization called the Wood. Oh yeah, there we go. Chelsea found them. Welcome. So I'm actually going to try to finish my presentation a little early so that we have time for extra questions for our elders from Fort MacKay, Clara and Andrew. So,
which is on Indian time.
I'm glad you made it. So the Wood Buffalo Environmental Association is a nonprofit organization in the region that monitors the air quality. And Fort MacKay was one of the early founding partners of the organization. So there are many groups that have voting power, so companies, government, First Nations. So so this project came from Fort MacKay's concerns about potential contamination of the their wild food supply, but in particular berries. And so I'd actually also like to acknowledge Anne Garibaldi, who's in the room, who planted the seed for this project in the beginning. I had been working as a traditional land use researcher in the region for about 6 years, and I constantly heard people expressing concerns about wild food contamination. But often when organizations or as a part of the environmental impact assessment process, government organizations were looking at contamination, they were simply just saying, testing for contaminants and saying that the contaminants were negligible. But meanwhile, the communities were saying that they had concerns about the food, they had more subtle indicators for contaminants. And so there was it became this relationship of lack of trust and misunderstanding. And so that actually inspired me to go back to do my doctoral research at McGill. So my doctoral research relates to this project, or this project sort of feeds into it, but I'm more generally looking at Cree perspectives of wild food contamination in the oil sands region. And so I'm looking at more subtle indicators, just knowledge about what people are seeing about changes in the land, but also the spiritual and symbolic forms of contamination that they're seeing. So for methods, we started out with focus groups in 2011. We have regular meetings, up to about once every month, once every 2 months, the group meets. And we have a group of about 15 people. The focus group elected, nominated Andrew and Clara, who are our guests here, to be their leader. So Andrew and Clara are my bosses. And they decide... They decide who, which berry patches we're going to, timing, sort of our research motivations, and so what we've done over time is we started with the focus groups, but then started to just provide transportation and lunches and regular dates. And went to berry patches that the group decided that they wanted to investigate. Now, several berry patches in the area have been disturbed. We looked at berry patches that are also close to the community and some farther away. And so we just started regularly visiting them. We check them in the spring. We have lunch. We visit. We share knowledge. If any of you were here last year, we presented a poster. Andrew and his grandson Shay were here last year. And we talked about all of the TEK kind of in general, the traditional knowledge about the berry patches. And we also listed many berries that the different species that we looked at. So any berry that anyone wanted to talk about, I recorded. We recorded stories about visiting the areas, the names of them. And it was really just an opportunity for people to get to go to the berry patches. I think a lot of the members in our focus group, some of them still actively pick berries, but there's also a lot who maybe weren't getting to go to these locations anymore. Their families are busy working in the area, and it was just an opportunity to be present in the patches. So over time, though, the group, the elders, decided that they wanted to start introducing scientific testing. And because we're funded and partnered with the Wood Buffalo Environmental Association, who is really a nonprofit that funds scientific studies of air monitoring, air pollution in the region, that we had a lot of resources available to us. I really wanted to ease into it. I was very leery about just going out and using science because I didn't want the project to become something where we were looking at the traditional knowledge of what the elders knew about the area and then proving or disproving with science. And I was particularly nervous, and I am with my PhD student, or my PhD research as well, I'm particularly nervous about using science that shows that patches that elders say that they're concerned about, they're not using because they're contaminated, that then if the science shows that the berries are okay to eat, then that information can be used by companies or government to sort of disprove or what the elders are saying. So these are the two berries that we particularly looked at with the scientific sampling, and I just noticed last night that I've got the Latin names mixed up on them. They're backwards. I didn't think it was worth rushing around trying to resubmit the presentation, but it's cranberries and blueberries is what we focused on in the patches for the sampling. This is just a map. It's really focused. You can't really tell where it is in Canada, but it's just a sort of general map of the main berry sites that we visit sometimes almost every month. Our schedule is based really on when the berries are flowering, and then when we can pick them and check them. And so at the end of the summer, we spend more time in the bush just picking berries because that's when they're ripe and available. And that actually coincides with the beginning of my school year, so it's kind of funny. I show up late to my doctoral classes every year because we're in the bush picking berries, but it seems to be okay when you're in anthropology. But you'll notice that you can see that sort of along this yellow line, which is the highway, and also the Athabasca River is running there, and you can see that you can see the mines. So we've got some patches that are really close to open pit mines, and then I'd just like to point out the area that's on your left that's Moose Lake, and we'll talk about that region a lot because it's the area that the elders still consider to be clean. So for the passive air monitoring, or for the pollutant monitoring, what we did is we've set up passive air monitors in each of the berry patches, and we also send berries for sampling, like the actual physical berries. So so we've left those up, and what we're trying to do, this was just our first year, so these are our first year of results, but what we're trying to do is we have technicians that are helping us, and Shay, who is Andrew and Clara's grandson, so we have youth learning to actually learn to change out the filters, because the problem is that we need to be able to go on a very regular interval and change out the filters and get our observations, our scientific observations. So we're really working to do that. So this year's results, we weren't always there exactly 1 month apart. It's tricky when we were trying to get an entire group of people in the summertime to locations on a regular basis. But we looked at sulfur dioxide, which comes from the upgrading of the bitumen of the oil sands, nitrogen dioxide, which comes from fossil fuel combustion and stacks, ozone, nitric acid, ammonia, and volatile organic compounds. You can see sort of all the different sources of these pollutants. And that's one of our group members, Joe Grandjam, learning to change the filters. So the berry analysis, we picked berries and had coolers with us and shipped them off to the labs and looked at health-promoting constituents, phenolic content, antioxidant capacity, and also elemental analysis. So I'm going to be really brief in general about the TEK results because Andrew and Claire are here, so we'll give them time to speak to that. But as I mentioned, many berry patches have been lost to mining and industrial activities. So there's just lots that are no longer accessible. You know, some are physically gone. Some of they don't have access to because of mines with roads and security fences. The only berry patch that the group trusts is the one farthest away from the industrial activity, which is at Moose Lake. Berries there are clean and can be eaten like as medicine. And some of the indicators for contamination include plants can be dried up, there's dust on the berries, and just no berries at all. Here's just some of the group members who couldn't be with us today. So these are the results that we got back from the labs. And I just wanted to mention that every sort of step of this research project is monitored by the berry focus group. So when we make decisions about where we're going to go, what we're going to do, this is why we have regular meetings. Everybody votes. So when each year I produce a report that I present to the group, and then they approve it or make suggestions for changes. They also vote on whether or not we can come to the conference and to send people along. So they decide all of this. But so the sulfur dioxide is 300 to 500 parts per billion, which is considered in the scientific world low, and it's lowest at Moose Lake. And I'll never forget when we were first bringing these results back to the elders. You know, everyone was really happy to see that, you know, that the science, even though it's low, is still showing that there was a difference between Moose Lake and the region closer to the community. So there's nitrogen dioxide is 0.1 parts per billion to 4.6 parts per billion, but with the lowest being at Moose Lake, and some of the places that are closer to industrial areas actually show the same results as the air monitors at industrial sites. The ozone is extremely low, which is typical in industrial center, and is slightly higher at Moose Lake. So again, nitric acid is low, ammonia was below detection, volatile organic compounds, which is important when we're talking about the oil industry, is highest right near the community and unmeasurable at Moose Lake. The Moose Lake berries were 30% higher in... in antioxidants. And something that was really interesting is that the berries at Schatz Island, which is an area right on the river but in the industrial area, was really high in salt. And so we thought that was really bizarre. The scientists were like, what's going on? And we asked Andrew, and he said, well, there's a lot of salt in bitumen and oil sands. So, and also the aluminium, iron, nickel, vanadium were much higher at Schatz Island and Target because of dust. And this was particularly interesting because the Wood Buffalo Environmental Association recently published a book where they had a scientific report showing that you can actually trace dust through these elements. And dust is something that's been sort of controversial in the region because the elders are always saying, there's dust on the berries, we don't want to eat them, they're contaminated. And often the scientists will say, well, wash them, right? But now we can actually trace the movement of the dust. And this report is showing that that's actually one of the major concerns in this region in terms of contaminants, is that the dust coming off of these massive industrial sites and blowing around is more of a concern than, say, the pollution coming out of the upgrader sacks. This is just another table showing these results. So I just did a little bit of a comparison of some of the points that the elders really talked about that we see trending in the science. So the dust on the berries, berry patches near the community are contaminated. Everyone's concerned about them, and we do see the VOCs and the air pollution slightly higher. Moose Lake is clean and healthy, so we see the berries actually having more nutritional value and having less pollutants. And also, Andrew and several of the members in the group, the guys that go fishing in particular, talk about how the contaminants follow the river, the Athabasca River. And so we saw that in the particular site that it's called Schatz Island, but it's actually just right on the river, sort of a little jagged outcropping. And we see the nitrogen dioxide being significantly higher there. So next steps, we're going to continue doing this. Like our hope is that this project will go on for many years, and that the youth that are working with us, we're going to include more, and the organization is actually interested in helping fund their educations and train them to be the next the air monitor scientists in the region. So we want to just continue the monitoring and strengthen our methods. As I was saying, we have issues around getting people out on a regular basis, being really, you know, technical. So what we've started to do this year is we're separating. Like, there's actually a trip going out while we're here. So we've separated the traditional knowledge trips from the science trips so that who's ever available can go on the regular dates we know when they're set for the science. But we're also allowing for dates when everybody is available, when people aren't busy with, you know, activities in the community, that we can all go to the berry patches. The group has asked to add weather stations, and so WBEA is actually buying these really cool weather stations that will be on site at the berry patches. And we're slowly looking at more sites. Andrew and Claire have requested to have a couple more sort of in between their community and Moose Lake. And we're also going to start monitoring some that are known to be really, like, there's berries at particular patches that the organization is already monitoring, they know are really contaminated. We want to go and start watching those berries. We're also going to start measuring the actual berry plants and monitoring the health of them. I mean, what I mean by that is, like, tagging specific plants and measuring them on a regular basis. And the community also really wants to know, okay, well, what are the health implications, right? So, okay, so now we're looking at, so some of these contaminants are present. What does this mean for the communities?